This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Time to break down the tape. Big. Bad Film Study with Ken McCusick. Your home for the most Ravens coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
7:15 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ken McCusick joins us. Ken, I want you to jump in on the conversation. First of all, good morning.
How you doing, Rob?
Doing well. Jumping on the conversation we had a little bit earlier. Looks like the Philadelphia Eagles are going to cut Darius Slay. He's 34 years old. I'm not interested, but do you think that's someone the Ravens would possibly kick the tires on?
Right player, right price. There's a price at which he'd be okay, and we'll see if that works out.
I see him going back to Detroit.
Yeah, it could be. I wouldn't be real hip to a multi-year deal, and I think that's probably what Darius wants. And with players in their mid-30s and older, usually are getting a 3-to-make-2 or a 2-to-make-1 deal, and it ends up costing you more than you're letting your fans know. So,
yeah. I mean, I want to stay in-house and talk about some of this stuff as well, because we had all this talk about Ronnie Stanley. Where do you sit now with what you heard at the press conference and some of the things going on? Does it give you excitement? Are you concerned? Like, what are your takes?
Oh, hope is certainly higher on signing Ronnie Stanley, but the clock is also ticking. So 3/12 is the red letter day. If they get a deal done by then, I think they're fine. If they don't, I would say it's a lot less likely that it happens. So the other thing positive that happened this week is Alaric Jackson got signed for 3 for $57 million, so a $19 million AAV. I think that'll help set the market. Jackson, to me, was the better choice to sign. Jackson has a weird black mark on his record because he was suspended by 2 games for the league, and they've never said what it was for. Personal conduct policy, but they've never said what it was for. Hmm. And somehow the Rams have been able to keep it quiet as well. So I thought that would help set the market. Seems to me if Lark Jackson is worth 3 for $57, then maybe you get three for $60 for Ronnie. Or
because Ronnie's going to have to get more than that, right? Like, is he? Because I've seen a lot of lists that have him number one as far as linemen. But I've seen a couple of them that had, I don't know if it was Jackson or there, maybe it was a guard or somebody in front of them, because they did all the linemen.
I would say, honestly, that Stanley had a slightly worse season than Jackson this last year.
Okay.
Now, not everybody agrees with that, but Stanley is exceptionally good for working with Lamar, because the kind of pressure he gives up, which he mirrors very well and gives ground to do it, bumps Lamar often or gets in the cone for Lamar, is pressure that Lamar's very good at dealing with. So I think he's worth more to the Ravens than he is to another team.
Ken McCusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, do you think the Ravens answered enough questions at the scouting combine to lead us to form an opinion of what they might do with Justin Tucker?
You know, 13 questions about Justin Tucker,
right,
for the two of them combined, which is just a barrage for the two of them. No, I'm not sure they've told us exactly what they're going to do. They've kind of backpedaled off the zero tolerance policy language. But honestly, some of the things that Harbaugh in particular said about him were kind of past tensifying his career in Baltimore. And that was, you know, he's been great. He'll always be great. But, you know, nothing lasts forever kind of thing. That language had me a little concerned about it. In the same way, I think people are concerned about the Mark Andrews language.
Hey, Ken, as far as some of the other things we've heard, like, I mean, we heard that the Ravens being linked to guy like Ashton Jeanty, you know, running back. I don't know that he falls to them, but like, I don't think they're the type of team to make that type of move knowing where they're at. But maybe they are, because like, if that's best player available and he slides, because I've even seen some people have, oh God, who's the other running back? I'm blanking now. Not Scadabo, but the another guy ahead of him. And I can't think of what his name is. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll draft a running back in round one. Let me just say that. And there's a lot of running backs that have speed in this draft, a lot to choose from. I think the Ravens need a speed back to complement Henry rather than an all-arounder or big back. Now, it does obviously depend on how long they're going to be riding the Derrick Henry train, but I think the look now there is that it could be more than just this next year. So that's a possibility. And the major positions I don't want to spend a lot of money at, or a lot of draft capital at, I should say, are running back. You wouldn't want to draft another tight end unless you get rid of one of the two you have. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to do another inside linebacker probably, anyway, right at the top. And you probably don't want the very best available safety either, although we're probably going to talk about that.
Yeah, the other thing, Omarion Hampton from North Carolina is the running back who is, if you haven't watched him, I mean, he went to North Carolina, which it sucked, but he was so talented. So again, I don't expect the Ravens to draft a running back early, but there were rumors about it, and I'm going, what's going on here?
Yeah. Ken McCusick joins us, Film Study Baltimore. You said not to get the tight end unless they get rid of one of the two they have. The writing is almost on the wall for that, though, for Mark Andrews.
It certainly seems like they've made a decision on that. I think the decision they've actually made is that they're going to go down to one of those two tight ends. And nobody wants to trade Isaiah Likely, but Isaiah Likely has a much higher trade value, and that's why you might do it. And if you can't sign Isaiah Likely long term, if the number doesn't work out, then you might have to just make the choice. The Ravens are notoriously ruthless about that, and they end up having to make some heartbreaking decisions with their homegrown players. I think, first of all, the fans ought to be much more excited about them signing their in-house talent right now after year three, rather than going out and get flashy names from free agency, because their in-house players are great. I mean, losing Travis Jones, losing Isaiah Likely, Linderbaum they only have until May 2nd with. I mean, you know, they have a bunch of decisions they have to make on their in-house guys.
Well, yeah, and again, like, one of the things I saw you were writing about is overreactions when it comes to the combine and different things. I saw you wrote something about double catches for wide receivers and tight ends and backs, which I don't think people realize, like, if you're wide open and you double catch it, there's nothing wrong with it. But in this game, it's fractions of a second, and a double catch could be you securing the ball, getting your feet down and looking like a move, and then you get hit, and then you don't have it as secure as you want it. What do you think about some of the overreactions from the combine?
Yeah, double catch is also, you're not worrying about getting hit at the combine. Other places, you drop that ball a lot of the times,
yeah,
too.
Or it gets popped up, depending on how you get hit.
I think there's a lot that goes on. That you have the RAS measurements, and people are into that, and they're throwing out RAS scores as if it's the be all end all. I do think the interviews are very important. I think that's something you don't overreact to, but we're not privy to those. So that's a problem for.
We do get to hear the dumb questions that get asked, like, would you rather be a dog or a cat? You know, what type of underwear?
Why do you think the interviews are so important, Ken?
I think that they, you know the old saying, this, if when somebody, I think it's a Maya Angelou quote that says, you know, when somebody tells you who they are, listen.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like that. Is people can tell you something and impale themselves on a question. We used to ask a question at work of people, is life fair? And let them just work with that. There's no right answer to that. There's a lot of wrong answers.
Oh, I've got the answer. If you need to know, the answer is no. No, it's not fair.
Yeah, I mean, because I agree with you. You want to find out what people are really about. Hmm. But even though you say the interviews are important, for the fourth rounders. Mm-hmm. They're not important for the first rounders.
Well, I think...
Yeah, I mean, the talent overcomes them all. I mean, we've heard some dumb answers given by some players who were still taking high. And it's like the Wonderlic score.
Yeah.
You know, some of the top players drafted have gotten the lowest Wonderlic scores. Those, to me, that's how you sift through marginal players or players that you're not quite sure of, because he's one of five. But one of ones, it doesn't matter.
Sometimes, well, if you're right, if he's a top five pick, it's probably not going to come into play.
It could make him a pick in the 20s instead of in the top five. Right. Yeah,
Rolando McClain, if you had the chance to ask the right questions to that guy a few years ago and self-destructive behavior, the guy who got on the ledge for Tennessee, the left tackle, you can sift out.
What
some
about
of that.
I'm blanking on the linebacker's name that Cincinnati drafted that should have been a first round pick talent wise, but he was such an a-hole.
That's the
one that Juju laid out. Yeah. But, you know, as you look at those things, I think it's... Yep, Vontaze Burfict.
But it wasn't the interview that got him. It was his actions in college.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there was... But the interviews would have got him, too, because that's who he was. And I just look at some of the guys coming into the draft. Like, they've talked about how important it is to sit down and talk with these guys, because I do think... I don't know that you're going to improve your draft stock all that much, but I think you can hurt it.
Right. I do, too. Sergio Kindle was a guy... The falling down the stairs was the incident that actually... You know, basically ruined his Ravens career, but he'd been involved in a hit and run accident. I want to say he's the one. If I'm getting this wrong, I'm apologizing already. But he's involved in some sort of hit and run accident in college, and they were explaining that at the State of the Ravens event. And Harbaugh was in the interview room. He was explaining the interview process, and he said that he had a very innocent description, and he was, you know, willing to go to a board and show you that the cars were and what happened. What he wasn't able to answer adequately is why he left the scene. And,
nobody was there to talk to.
Brendan Freeze joins us at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, more of Ken McCusick's thoughts on the scouting combine and what it might do for the Ravens and their draft choices. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7:30 in the a.m. on this Taco Tuesday. I want some tacos tonight. I might do tacos for lunch, Jeremy.
Really?
Because I got to go to Bladensburg tonight. Probably won't get back in time.
Bladensburg. Oh, I know where that is.
Elizabeth Seton High School. Ken McCusick, I'm probably going to put you on the spot with this.
Uh-oh.
The NFL scouting combine as we know it. Necessary, unnecessary, or just needs to be tweaked a lot. You could be necessary and needs to be tweaked.
Yeah, there's limited things you can learn from non-contact competition.
Yes.
So obviously drills are what they are. I think, and we just mentioned before the break about overreacting to the combine. I think there's two things that are good examples for that. One is how little you can see about get off. 40 yard dash, even the 10 yard split. doesn't give you get off. So you have a defensive end, and Odafe Owe is unfortunately the guy I'm going to hit on here. He's never really had the great get off at the NFL level. Unbelievable, freakish combine stats, but not a guy who you could count on for great get off, and it's held him back as a pass rusher in the NFL. So even a guy who has a great 10-yard split, you know, 40 time, you know, he moves like he's made of rubber or something. Even those guys are you can't see everything about him without watching a lot of tape. The other thing is, I think people who watch tape a lot, and this is just my own personal feeling, is that they over-rely on their own eyes and they under-rely on the statistical component of their college play. There's a whole lot of information out there about there, and people convince themselves they can make excuses for players and whatnot at the college level. So there's a lot of weakness in both systems, but I think the combine needs changes.
Ken, I think it may have been you, but the safety out of South Carolina and seeing what's going on, there are some people have said almost like, hey, nobody let the Chiefs get Isaiah Worthy, because he putting that speed with that group is like, don't let it happen. And the Bills trade and they get him. Some people said it feels like it'd be a cheat code in that defensive backfield with him and Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah.
And I've seen some people say that there's no way he falls to the Ravens. What are your thoughts?
I don't think he falls to the Ravens either. I think he priced himself out draft capital wise with the performance. A freakish athlete, Nick Imanwari, we're talking about here. 4'38", 43-inch vertical, 11'6" broad. He says how much he likes.
That's a tall girl.
Yeah. Says how much he likes Kyle Hamilton. He's incredibly versatile. He's one of these slot strong safety, probably could play free safety guys. It's not exactly what the Ravens need. The Ravens don't need versatility. They got three hyper versatile defensive backs. They need a guy who can play free safety.
Yeah, specialist. Yeah. I agree with you. Kim McCusick joins us. FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, is there a guy that just maybe you did not know of and all of a sudden he jumped off the page for you and became a star is born, so to speak, in the scouting combine?
One guy that I think I'd known less about, Jahdae Barron of Texas. Terrific guy. Absurd college production. I just looked at this after seeing the combine stuff, but this last year, 0 TDs, 5 interceptions, a 34.2 opposition passer rating, 4.2 yards per target. What I look for in part when I'm going through this is I want to see great athletic measurables, but I want to see them corroborated by fantastic coverage stats in college. There was a safety last year, and I'm forgetting the name, but he went in about the third round, who had given up 13 yards per target. And despite that, he'd had 5 interceptions among 6 total incomplete passes thrown his way all season. It was like 28 of 34 were complete in his direction. And he went fairly highly. It was a total deal breaker for me in terms of seeing
that. Because that feels like I'm picking on you because I know I can get the pass there, and you got, I don't want to say you got lucky, you made 5 plays, you know, it is weird to look at those things. I did like in your notes that you had 2 guys from Texas on there, because I thought they had the best defense in college football last year, and at times just dominating. But when we get to this point of it, where do you think, is there like tremendous value in this draft at a certain position? Are they very deep? Because the one thing I keep going back to is go ahead and draft all those quarterbacks. Go ahead. Draft them all in front of them. But I feel like the Ravens are going to have an excellent chance of somebody sliding to them. And I also think I'd almost rather be picking in the 20s this year.
Yeah,
I know it sounds silly, but like I just think that because you always want to pick higher, but I don't think it's
I don't think it's a big separation from front of to middle of.
And I think the Ravens are better than the other teams at drafting.
Could completely agree with you guys. Completely agree that you know, if you're gonna have to draft at 27, this is a good year to do it. Is the way I'd put it. But they have some guys. They might even get an offensive tackle late in this round. Kelvin Banks is out there. He's a possible slip to the Ravens at 27. I think Landon Jackson of Arkansas is a guy who I'm not really keen on at 27, but maybe if they traded back and were picking in the mid-30s, might be a guy they would like to have. Great tweener guy. There's multiple players. Shamar Stewart is a guy like Owe.
Yes, the guy.
Limited college production, but incredible combine.
That's the one I wanted to ask you about. What do you like about him?
Well, I mean, I love the combine and what he did there. I mean, the 4.59 and a 158.10 and the 40-inch vertical. He had 3.5 sacks. That doesn't match his production. What's nice about him is you get him in with Chuck Smith, and I think he makes as a bigger developmental footprint on a guy like that than somebody else.
Did you make anything of Odafe Owe's tweet? Hadn't tweeted in years, and he tweets a peace sign, and we obviously had to talk about it. It could be nothing, but it's just weird.
I could not understand what that meant. I thought maybe new contract. I'll just say this to any players who might be listening out there. There are members of the Baltimore media, I'm not among them, but there's members of the Baltimore media who have automatic alerts on their phone every time you tweet something, including a change to your profile. So know that when you are changing your profile to take all relationships to Ravens off yours, and Patrick Queen did that when he didn't get the fifth-year option, that, or actually it was after the draft, when they drafted Trent Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows. It's 1:04 a.m., yeah. And media people have alerts on their phone for this happening.
It's what you have to do nowadays, Rob, when my wife and I have a fight, I scrub my Facebook and Twitter. I don't want anybody knowing we're together, and then I put it back up the way it's supposed to be.
When your wife has a fight, she scrubs your face, all right?
She's right.
Floor and scrub your face.
I'm practicing. I'm sorry, baby, you're right.
Ken McCusick joins us, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, the Ravens have a lot of picks this year. Will this be a year that they use those picks to move up, or will they stand pat?
They don't have a lot of value is the problem, Rob. So they have a bunch of picks in round 6 and 7. So I hear this. Maybe this is the year they have 11 picks. They should be able to move up. Well, if they traded all 11 picks at once, they'd only get up to between the 10th and 11th overall pick. So that gives you an idea of how little total draft capital they have. A 6th or 7th round pick, what I'd like to see them do is reset their draft. If they can trade a 6 this year to get a 5 next year, I think that would be a good thing to do. Same thing with 7 for a 6, next year kind of thing. That sort of activity I'm always a favor of. So I would prefer, I guess, that sort of resetting where I think you get a lot of value rather than just, trading up to get a player, maybe even overpaying in JJ point terms this year.
I think most years it's hard to kind of speculate who they're going to pick. We obviously love talking about it. And I always say whoever the talking heads are telling you they're going to pick, they ain't who they're drafting.
I think it's more difficult this year than years past.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, Ken. So when they draft in like the mid to late 20s, is it just sit back and enjoy the draft and see what happens? Because I know we have to speculate because everybody wants to guess.
I think the way they do it is if they're drafting at 27, they'll have 13 or 14 guys they really like. The year they traded back, I think it was the year they traded back and got Dan Cody, or maybe it was Kimball and Cody, might have been the same draft. Kindle and Cody.
Yeah. No, they were separate drafts.
Okay.
Because they were both out of the, you had Oklahoma and Texas, and they both had issues. I think that's a similarity. Cody had the red flags because of health. But he should have been a first-round pick because of talent.
They're both second-round picks when they got drafted. I think they traded back to 43 to get Kindle and then Cody in the same draft, I think.
Okay, I'll look back.
But I could be wrong. And 2010, maybe, or 2011, one of those two. But anyway, what was the point I was going to make about that?
Sorry. sitting in the 20s and waiting for the draft.
Okay, so they had 13 guys picked. So Ozzie said, and this is again a state of the Ravens, he told us about this, that at 27, the one guy left on their list was Dan Williams, who was a nose tackle out of Tennessee. And they talked long and hard about taking him or not, and then they decided not to do it. So even when they have one of their guys still available, they'll talk about the value they have and the opportunities they have to trade the guy.
Ken, tell us all about Film Study Baltimore and why folks need to be a part of it.
Oh, filmstudybaltimore.com is my website. I'm at Film Study Ravens on Twitter. And the current series we're working on is looking at individual UFAs and why they'd be a good fit for the Baltimore Ravens. One per day.
Real quick, though. I think I know where the mix-up was. They had Sergio Kindle the same year they had Terrence Cody. Dan was in a different
draft. Oh, I'm sorry. That is who I was talking about. Okay. Terrence Cody, yeah.
I was talking about the linebacker out of Oklahoma who slipped and ended up being their pick in the second round.
Right. And he had, Dan Cody... really interesting career, but he couldn't ever stay on the field for the Browns. Yeah.
All right. Cody.
Yeah. Me?
Yeah.
What?
I like Dan Cody.
Well, my Terrence.
You remember Terrence Cody? You remember Terrence Cody's best play was a blocked field goal in college against Tennessee, right?
Yeah. I remember him coming. I think he had two in the game.
The same year, if I'm not mistaken, maybe the same week, Ndamukong Suh made a big play. Because Texas and Alabama had great plays by their defensive linemen to get them to number one and number two in the country. Because Texas upset Oklahoma because they were supposed to win the Big 12, and that was during Tim Tebow's run in the SEC. So both of them were just came out of nowhere.
So the other thing with that, too, is in just talking about Terrence Cody, the thing I remember most is I played in a charity softball game with him, and I kept yelling, "I got it, I got it, I got it." I was playing first. We had Terrence play second because obviously where you put him. He ran me over, grabbed me with one arm, and then caught the softball and was like, "You all right?" I said, "No, you stepped on my foot. He broke my toe, my toenail, my big toe in half." Some bitch, man. That's a big boy.
Huge.
And then he had his issues with the mistreatment of animals, man. Yeah. So screw him.
Hey, thanks a lot, my friend. Kim McKusick, we'll talk to you next Tuesday.